things. You guys are putting down also.
I'm not going to do anything, but.
You think it's not.
There's a telephone call, that's what it could be.
Okay, what is that? So here we are, we say, Baruch Hashem, we thank Hashem that we're able to meet together. It's a matana from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have a Hechi Timsa, we have the wherewithal. We can't take it for granted that we have a place, we have a light, we have chairs. It seems like, it's not such a tremendous shul, but everything is hashkocha and everything is a matan meshemayim, and also that HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts into the hearts, into the understanding, into the cheshek of our modest little group here, that you people understand the cheshivas of the inyan, of the importance of it. It really is very, very important, very much more important than meets the eye. In this whole thing of working with Maisa, I just want to share with the Olam that what we do here, these Uvdas, it's really something very precious that I myself was zeichet to be kind of distinct from Rabbi Victor Miller. But what's unique about it, what's special about it, is that the Miller has become like very popular in the last years of his life, and I think that after he left the world, he became even much, much more popular. And the wealth of his forum and his taste. These Uvdas that these Vadim that we're giving, I don't think that he had these Vadim in this period when he became popular. I was there to be part of in a van. He had a network of Vadim people from Yeshiva in the years touching the Ted. That's like 1958, like those years. And later on, when he became popular and he had his own shul, he had many different shurim, but I don't think he had this network of Vadim. So, what you're tuning into in our modest little group is that something very, very special that I would say to be part of. At that time, there were very few people like around that were part of it, but at least that are giving over what they gained from Rabbi Miller during that period. There were some people I know that gained as myself, but I don't know if they're giving it over to other people. So what I try as much as circumstance of our setup of our Vat can allow us to at least try to keep to the format, as we had it, I was able to get to be makabel for him, and the Uftis also, we try our best to be loyal to his Uftis or things very close to them, and the talks that we give about the Uftis to explain them, but also most of it is things that I heard from him when he would introduce the Uvda. So it really is something very unique, something special that you're connecting yourself to. Okay, Rabbi Zai. Anyway, last week we were working on maybe I can almost modestly say that it's probably the most important Uvda in our whole series. Because what we're doing really is, trying to connect ourselves with the essence of our whole Yiddishkeit, of the whole Avodas Hashem, which is really supposed to stem from a connection with the Bnei Shalom. The truth is that, as we mentioned last week, the importance, the essential, the importance of this avodah that we're saying. If we make a formula of like how important it is, and if you don't have it, what we would look at would look like. I have repeated it here, I think, a number of times. Many of us today, religious, from a yidden, what we call, like in your circles, in our circles, that we're so proud of our b'chiv chofshis and our kiyum of the Torah and mitzvahs, we're thrilled with at least $5,000, and you know, our whole Yiddishkeit, we're proud of ourselves, that you know, we pick ourselves up from the, you know, lower masses, and what is Hashem really is the mark of our life, and we feel that Baruch Hashem, that we feel proud of ourselves that we're making these decisions, you know, the commitment to the Baruch Hashem. The truth is that if according to what I'm saying is true, the importance of doing this avodah, of connecting with Hashem, if it's true, and if it's missing, like how this can damper and put down avodas Hashem, if that's true, so it could be that if the only reason why we look like today, and we put on tefillin in the morning, and we try to keep kashrus, and we have to find a semblance of Shabbos, if we're so proud of it, because we're zeiche from the bris that Kosh Baruch Hu made with Klai Yisrael, but he's so greasy, right? Ruchei she'olecho, the voice of the people, the emotion of the people, the zeiche. So we are so proud of ourselves that we're upright, loyal Jews, observant and loyal. In the meantime, if Hashem said, listen, if you want to see what you really look like without my bris, you know, so I don't know if it's right, even if it's measured here, I can describe what we look like, you know. Everybody here should forgive me, because I mean, I'm also among the crowd, you know, that we look like, you know, people on drugs and, you know, lowlifes of the, you know, of the mafia society, you know, murderers, killers, mubalans, shikotsin, you know, like the Hashem said, well, now take a look at yourself without the nizos grisi, what you would look like. It's very possible that we don't realize how much we're gleaning and how much we're gaining from this bris that Hashem made with Klai Yisrael. If what I'm saying is true, that you need to be connected with this, you know, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and if not, so the observance of our Yiddishkeit pays, you know, at the expense of our observance. So I can't tell you about that, but it's very possible, by the way, this example that I'm talking about, Rabbi Yisrael Shlisi, I think that I heard this from Rav Miller also. I think that he himself made this ha'ora, that what we would look like, you know, the emes, and the reason why we're saying it to be observant Jews, even though we're not really fulfilling this thing that we're saying is true, you know, to the formula, where's the formula, you know? So it's very possible that he explained it, maybe this is an explanation why we're able to be observant despite, you know, the absence of this avodah. Anyway, Rabbi Yisrael, just very, very briefly, Baruch, there's something that you'd like to share with us.
I need to do this avodah another week, because I wasn't much there.
Okay. You were mechaven to what we want to do.
Okay. I did it one time.
Yeah. Baruch, what about you have to say?
I was absent last week, so I didn't do it before. Well. I don't even know what the avodah was.
Excuse me, because I usually like to, for the benefit of, you know, people that after the recently should be an intelligent listener, what we're talking about. So we just briefly, I'm going to think about it again, because I think that we should continue doing it. But we spent, the umdah was that a number of times throughout the day, we should pause and just spend a minute or two or three just thinking of focusing on the presence of Kadosh Baruch Hu in the world, the Hashem Hu Elokim, Shavisi Hashem Mandir Kisomu, that the whole world is just a manifestation of our Hashem, and nothing in the world really has intrinsic meaning or significance. It's all like really the Bar Hashem. That everybody Rav Moshe.
I was not.
You also weren't here. I don't want this should be a reason for people to be how should we say, a little bit not so waste an effort to come to the van. But if any of you are in a massive of oinus that you said you can't be here, so we can oblige our members here, that I put a telephone, call me on my phone, and you can listen on the telephone. I have a vibe that on the bus coming here, and there's somebody went on my Tamidim, he lives in Telstone, so he asked if he could join the Vaad. So I have my telephone open on the bus, and I give the Vaad, and he joins the Vaad. We once had it all day in our group here, remember? Okay, everybody, so again, this shouldn't be encouraging people not to show up, but in case you have an illness, and you can be anywhere in the world, we have Vaden also, international, different countries, people hook up, So wherever you are in the world, even from Chutzlaret, if you want to join us. So
I think I would need an uvda just to stop for a minute or two during the day. That's scary. Like,
yeah, I mean it is very
that's hard.
Unusual. Yes, it is. It's unusual.
That's why I say
What's your name again?
Hoshea.
I think you wrote it down, but just again. Hoshea. What's your second name?
Yisachar.
Yeah,
but I don't use it. Last name is Alan.
What's your family's name?
Alan. Yeah.
So your name is Hoshea Alan.
Yeah.
That's the way you call yourself.
There you go.
Okay. 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 What would you like to say, Hoshea?
I found that when I would pause, it wasn't daily, admittedly, but I did remember a number of times. I found that, first of all, it was focusing. It was good. It was a good focus. Secondly, when I considered my own self. The point you made last week was everything is Devar Hashem. I went through that in my head. Here is Devar Hashem, the sky is Devar Hashem, the moon is Devar Hashem, whatever it was, where I was. But then it comes to me. What do you mean? I am Devar Hashem. Of course I am. But then I have my mind, and I have my thoughts, and I have Bechira. And how does that tie into Devar Hashem? That's where about as far as I could get with my thoughts. Because we are independent in one sense, because we have Bechira, but yet we're also just part of Hashem Echad. So.
Right.
That, I guess, what's the right word? That conflict was about as far as I could get with. What do I do with that? How do I solve that?
You want to just say that again? Crystallize it again. The
main essence is that we have Bechira, we can make choices,
right?
And yet, so we're somewhat independent,
right?
But yet, we're also Devar Hashem.
Right.
We're also created through His mouth, through the word of His mouth.
Right. You mean, how do you reconcile?
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay, yeah. That's That's a very good question. It's probably one of the most important, deepest questions there are.
That's what I got there.
It's like where is the Kirchhoffshitz? Where is the Kirchhoffshitz? Which I'm sure that Rambam very basic questions. However, you have to deal with that. But it shouldn't be. I guess maybe by working in this Ubda, because you're thinking, it's really focusing on the Hashkachas Hashem and the role of Hashem Baruch Hu, like in the world, it exaggerates the question in your mind, because it's forcing you to think of that the Baruch Hu is running the world and doing the world, and he is the world. So then the question you should always have had, where's the Bechir Chavshir? But what's happening, I think, is that because you're doing what the Ubda is really supposed to make you do, and that bring to your conscience and realization in a realistic way the presence of Hashem in the world. So it's just like pushing up against the wall, making you think, more than Maitre, so it's like a way to Bechir Chavshir. I just wanted to bring out that something you should have had to always deal with, but it's just that because of the nature of the Ubda, it just makes it more pronounced, the need to try to work out that thing. Mm-hmm. In other words, there's nothing actually in the Ubda that's unique that brings out that question. It's only that
you shine some light on it.
More than that is because you make the presence of Hashem in your mind more reality, which is that the Ubda is supposed to do, dealing with the presence of Hashem in the world in a more realistic way, in the reality. So we made it according to that reality tonight, so then they have to work that thing out. So it makes it more of reality, and it makes it pressing that you want to understand how that works. Okay, Rabbi Shai. So once again, the was that number of times during the day. Before I say what the Ubd is, I just want to maybe we'll just stop this for a second. The Ubd was that, I might want to clarify it, like it's really two parts to the idea. One part is the understanding, how we understand in our mind the presence of Hashem in the world, like which we have to get that from the Sechaim, Sefer HaTanya, and we worked on that in the framework of the Shvad here, I think more than once, and that is an independent subject, it's trying to understand the Hashkafa of understanding how to control his presence in the world. But our Ubda was starting after that point. In other words, whatever your concept of Hashem is, whatever you think about when you make a bracha, bracha to Hashem, shakol miyem nivorei, bracha to Hashem, the kingdom of Hashem, what do you think about? Whatever you think about, is it the right thing? Is it not the right thing? Is it awesome? Is it terrific? Are you thinking exactly what you're supposed to, or you're far from it? Whatever it is, you have some kind of idea of Hashem. So the Ubda was that whatever that idea is, that you should stop a few times during the course of the day and be mispunning on it. In other words, like you say, close the Mishnah Hasharim, close the Nebuchadnezzar, close the Sefer Tanya, close everything, close the Gemara, and just connect yourself with the thought that Molei Oretz Kavodai, that the whole world is just filled with the glory of Hashem, the presence of Hashem. Even your body is really made up of the presence of Hashem. Just meditate and concentrate on that intensive thought. And we suggested to do it a few times a day, right? Do it a few times a day. Each one according to his own, how should we say? I can't think of the right word, but his allowances of his time and how much he understands how important it is to do it, you know, how much his schedule allows him to do it and how important he realizes it is, right? I know when I was a bacha, in yeshiva many, many years ago, and I realized the importance of this. So, like I mentioned last week, the Bala Tanya says, he warns that the concept of Hashem should not be dimyonis ba'alma. Of course, it's dimyonis ba'alma. In other words, sometimes you have the right concept of Hashem, but it's just like a dimyon. In other words, it's a thought, it's a shava, but it's not the reality. Passage, the trip to take it from the idea of it, which if you know about it, so it's an idea, but that's what you call a dinyan ba'alma. It's just like, you know, it's not reality. The idea to take it to that step, one step further, and make it into reality, right? So that's what this idea is. I realized, came to this understanding and realization of this. Like, at that time, they didn't have electronic devices. Like, many years ago, they used to have in America, like, when you parked your car, they had, a parking meter, and that you had to buy something, a device, to remind you, to run out and put the money into the ear. So they used to sell, like, little round things, you would turn it, and then it would go off. Remember those things you had?
Egg timers.
Well, this is not the egg, this is made, your keychain. But that kind of thing, you would put it, and it would go off. You could set it for an hour, half an hour, and it was made, put on your keychain. It was made specifically for the parking meters, But you could make it go off every hour if you want, it's just like a practical tool to use for this thing, and then every hour you can make it like however long you want to meditate about this. You can do it for, it's very hard to do it, the mice when you do it, when you hear about this thing, you say, oh, me, sounds like a great idea, sign me up, 15 minutes every hour, 30 minutes every hour, that's nothing, maybe half an hour, but 15 minutes, no problem. If you can do it for 2 minutes, so you're okay. Even 1 minute, you can try it and see, you try to do it uninterrupted, intensive concentration. So 1 or 2 minutes already is already difficult. But you shouldn't get discouraged because your mind wanders. But if you're able to do it, you feel that you really you feel the accomplishment of it. Like when you daven Shemoneh Esrei during the day. So some people tell me they do it during Shemoneh Esrei. That's not the time to do it. If you do it properly, so then when you daven Shemoneh Esrei, you'll be able to daven better because you'll be connecting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu as you during the course of the day, you connect yourself with him. So you daven, or when you say, Krishna, Shema Chod, so you feel that you're able to be mechaben what you're supposed to, because you're being mechaben to Hashem that you've been thinking about during the day, But that's not the time to do the exercise. That's what you do like this course today. So, what can I tell you? If you could do it every hour, buy yourself one of these, sidewalk meter, timers, let it go off every hour. I think I still have it, the timer. So you can do with that. They have, these watches. Now you have the electronic watches that you can set off, go off, and or you have, the telephones or many different devices today that can be very useful for this. So there used to be a set of clock, so they set it up, you set it once. These timers, sometimes you set it for 10 times in the day, So if you want to do it every 3 hours, you set it for 3 hours in the day. just a practical suggestion. One of the ways that you can do it is that if you're able to do it without any limit, you know. So one idea is that, let's say you make the clock go off 2 minutes before the hour, you know, and then by the hour, sometimes you have a signal anyway, like you watch when you get the hour or not. So you set it, let's say 2:58 and 3 o'clock, right? And then you can check it 3:58, 4 o'clock. So when it comes in the day, the time span that you want to set it for. You want to do it twice a day, three times a day, four times a day. You want to do it every hour, you know. If you try, if you miss the time, so you miss it, you know, see if you can want to make it up or not. But the point is that try during the course of the day to connect yourself. You see that Beth Hashem, you see that the Beth Hashem Yisburach, the Tu'alot Hamish, that you should be able to see, you know, and you feel that you really connect yourself with the Bnei Shalom. Okay, so that was the Ovdah from last week. Now, so we have half and half. You know, half the Ovdah here is the new Ovdah, right? another member feels that he would like to, you know, have another crack at it, another week, right? So, if the other would like, then maybe we'll continue doing it this next week, this Ovdah, right?
Can I ask something?
Yeah.
Can I get a little bit more clarity on the two parts that you're talking about? You're talking level one and level two. And I'm not quite clear at this point as to what the distinction is between sort of the Pashut level of understanding Hashem's presence everywhere and this, whatever you mean by this higher level. If you could clarify that more for me, that would be great.
If you can repeat again, what you like to have clarified, so it would be helpful to me.
Okay. You mentioned a few minutes ago that there was a simple understanding that we would meditate on, and there was a deeper level of understanding that, you know, the transcendence of Hashem.
Right.
Could you just expound more for me on what the distinction is between those two levels?
Okay. So, I'm not exactly sure what you're referring to, you know, what I said.
Can I try and facilitate?
Yeah.
So, what Hosea asked before was, he was getting stuck on this higher level concept of, well, I've got free will, but Hashem is really the one who's supposed to, everything is dependent on Hashem, and so how can it be that I still have free will, and which is it's already going beyond the just, well, Hashem runs the world, and thinking about connecting with that Hashem is constantly creating the world. Like I wrote down here last week that we talked about this connecting to this, aligning ourselves with this Ratzon Hashem, that Hashem is really the one that's keeping everything alive, and everything is dependent on that. So that's kind of like the basic, it's just us just thinking that Hashem is really keeping everything alive from sunset to sunrise and everything, without really thinking about, well, do I have free will, do I not have free will, what does it mean that he, like, you know, and kind of like going one step deeper, which there are, like, books that talk about it. Right? So the Master of the Rub was saying that we should focus on the first level, the way that Moshe was saying, the first level of just connecting with that initial thought.
That which thought again?
That Hashem is the one who's constantly creating the world, and that we have to align ourselves and our lives with that reality, knowing that really if we didn't have Hashem, we wouldn't have the sun come up, and we wouldn't go down, and we wouldn't... Nothing, we take for granted it, but really, like, everything is ultimately dependent, absolutely everything in this world upon, Ain, the Rav quoted, right? Ain't old about it, but also, there's a quote about Ela Yirat Shamayim, Tzinim Patnim, Kol Midei Shamayim, Kol Midei Shamayim, Chutz Miyirat Shamayim, and.
Well, I don't believe I quote it, but it's but I mean,
it was the same, absolutely everything really ultimately is, and if we connect ourselves with, why do we end up sinning, is because we don't really see that, we don't really believe that, we don't really align our day-to-day existence with that metzias,
right,
which is true, how much in our daily, everyday actions we just kind of communally forget that, well really, like, it's really that it's, everything is 100% dependent on Hashem, and you know, if I would just stop running around trying to, like, make so much money, because ultimately, I have to do my hishtadlos, but if I wasn't so worried about it all the time, this and that already would, like, but, you know, or, that's just one representation of it, but it's probably the biggest one for me, because I work, so I, 8 hours a day.
Was
that right?
Yeah.
Exactly. Kind of like, was that?
What I didn't know if that's what he was driving at when I heard him speak, or when I heard the Rob speak tonight.
Was that what you meant, like in terms of like?
I don't know what the second level was that he was discussing. I'm not sure.
Okay. He's talking about something I said of two levels. So I have a topic. The two things that we're talking about that you might be referring to.
Okay.
One thing we mentioned of two things is that we call two. One of them is the understanding of the Hashkafa, the comprehension of this idea of Hashem's presence in the world, right? Which, you know, it's a whole study in itself. How do you understand Hashem's presence? And what I was presenting to the Oilev is that I wasn't going to go into that subject. In other words, whatever your pre-notion of that is, right, and it could be, you know, many, many different levels of understanding of that idea, what I was doing is taking for granted that whatever your ideas of this is clear, and this Ubda was to take this idea which you soon have and to implant it into your, you know, systematically put it into your nervous system and put it into your functioning conscious and conscientiousness that should be with you, you know, in a functioning way throughout the day. You have the idea, the concept, and whatever that is you have, wherever you got it, right? Say Baruch Ato Hashem, check on here. So who are you talking to? What are you talking to? You have some kind of idea. So whatever that idea is, take that idea and a number of times throughout the day, without making the shakar, without making the bracha, just connect yourself with the Hashem. If you know that it's the Melech HaOlam that made the world, created the world, and held the world together, and you just connect yourself in an intensive thought, trying to, without breaking your the concentration, try to connect Hashem with Hashem, right? Which Hashem, what Hashem, whatever your ideas are. So you have your ideas, and just avoid the of connecting with them. So I don't know if that's the two things you're referring to. And I said two things. This is what you mean, the idea that you have your own concept, and our Ubda is something, above that or different. It's taking whatever your concepts are, and now try to focus on that several times during the day. Is that the two things you're talking about? Right. But I mean, the other, you know, two ways of understanding it, two things we mentioned is that some people understand Hashem in one level, and some people understand the concept of Hashem in a deeper level, in a higher level. So that's like one or two. But we mentioned that every person here has their own exposure to understanding Hashem, and maybe some people it's more simple, some people it's more complicated, but whatever it is, you're supposed to do this a way that of connecting with it. So maybe that's what you meant, the two levels. There was, probably not. It's probably the first thing that I said. Right.
Okay.
So I might say that, so that's the avoda, and one of the reasons why it's difficult. First of all, the actual concentration is very difficult. We're not used to do this kind of thing. It's a very intensive concentration with in our lifestyle, in the manner of our life that we have today. It's not something common that we do, right? That's number one. Number two, there's another problem that it's not there isn't any part of the schedule during the day to anchor it down to say when to do it. It's just a practical question, problem, right? You probably, both of you, that you try to do it, probably ran into that where are you supposed to do it during the day, you know? So, like, if you make it to do it every hour, so it's not, you know, not a problem, because every hour you have your clock set, you know? Like, you don't have to anchor it down to anything. But whatever, unless you want to do it every 2 hours or 3 hours, but, I mean, one solution for that is like if you have some mechanical device that will go off every whatever you want. Let's say you make up, I want to do it every 3 hours, every 2 hours. So your thing will go off, and you don't have to anchor it down to anything, because your mechanical device will go off whenever you want it to, right? If you decide to do it that way, with some kind of electronic mechanical device, so that would take away this problem that you can't anchor it down to anything. You don't have to. Like, let's say you finish davening in the morning, 8 o'clock, whatever it is, you make up that, like, 8:30, the first time you do it. And you make it to be, next time will be 10:30. Right? You have your time set, the clock set, to go off. For that minute or two, you just like try to leave it to your imagination a minute or two, or you can set the clock for 2 minutes to ring after 2 minutes. These kind of watches are very, very good for that. This particular model, I think it's one of the only models that have it, but this model has a certain, thing that most of these kind of watches don't have. You can set the watch to go off for an hour, and it rings after the hour. But this one has a convenience, whatever you call it, that it'll go continuously. Most of the time you can set it, you have a thing, you set it to go off after an hour. This thing has a program on it that it'll keep. But let's say you set it for 20 minutes, so it'll go off every 20 minutes. You set it for an hour, so it'll go off every hour. So it's not just one hour, the countdown. It's consistency, the countdown. For this kind of thing, it's a very convenient program. Okay, Rabbi. Alright, now I thought we can have time today. We have to run to the bus. So is that clear, right, Rabbi Sai, throughout the day? And because Baruch Hu, you say Bishmaya, that decide how you say this, decide how you say this, something like that, getting close to the punishment, in the real. It should help you that we should be able to do it the proper way, and it should really have a tool, so we should be able to use it as a tool to really fulfill the will of God as well.